Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind, because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Good evening. Good to see you all again. And those I haven't met, nice to see you as well. I'm Phil. I'm here with my wife, Sandra. And as has been explained, I'm here not just as a guest preacher, but with a little bit more than that for you to discuss. But I'll leave that with you and get on with what I'm here to do, which is to bring a message from the passage that's just been read. Now, I am fully aware that this story that has just been read was used and preached on Sunday morning just about 2 weeks ago by Lindsay, who sat over there, and I enjoyed listening her message and because I've been thinking about what to do this weekend in the morning and the evening, and this was one of the passages I've thought about. But then I thought, when Lindsay had done it, okay, that's fine. There's one or two other ideas I've got. And I prepared the one I did this morning, which was, those of you who are here, how many were here this morning? Put your hand up. A lot of you. Okay, thank you. You've come back. That's great. So the one I did this morning was about the woman who touched the edge of Jesus' cloak and was healed from the bleeding that she had, and also Jairus' daughter. It was that story in the Bible. And what was that to do with touching the hem of the coat? And remember, I talked about how lots of people were healed that way. And that verse is at the end of this. I quoted this verse this morning. Did you get that? At the end of what was just read, the last verse was in Matthew. The last verse that was read just now was, "And people brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed." So that verse came out in there, and I've been thinking about this passage anyway. And I've heard the story of Peter on the boat before, and Peter in the boat and Jesus walking on the water, but like many people, like many stories of Jesus, and lots of stories in the Bible as well, there's different messages that you can take from these different things. For example, the story of the lost sheep, which you all know, a lot of you know the story of the lost sheep, yeah? It's in two different Gospels, and the message is completely different in both Gospels. But you have to read it and understand the context to understand what Jesus is making. But it's the same story. And that happens quite often in the Gospels. The same story can be told in a different message. But even in a story like this, there's different things we can take from it. So when Lindsay talked about it the other day, when she was sharing the message, she was talking about the need to get out the boat, yeah, and step out in faith. And I want to talk about something different to do with it and talk about whether Peter was right to get out of the boat at all. But that doesn't mean that Lindsay's wrong. It's just a different subject. So that was particularly to do with faith. And what I want to talk about this evening is to do with obedience. It's more to do with obedience. So a little story to start with. As a teenage boy, he just passed his driving test. And he inquired from his dad. He said, when can we discuss the use of the car, Dad? Some of you recognise that? Yeah. And his father said, look, I'll make a deal with you, son. I want you to work a little bit harder at college. So if you can bring your grades up from C to B average, and you study your Bible a little more, and you get your hair cut, we'll talk about the car, okay? So the boy thought about it for a bit, and he said, oh, all right, I'll settle for that. And they agreed on it, shook hands, that was the deal. After about 6 weeks, his father said to him, son, you've brought your grades up, and I've observed that you've been studying your Bible, but I'm a bit disappointed you've not had your hair cut yet. And the boy said, well, you know, Dad, I've been thinking about that, and I've noticed in my studies of the Bible, when I've been reading it, that Samson had long hair. And John the Baptist had long hair, and Moses had long hair, and there's even strong evidence that Jesus had long hair. To this, his father replied, but did you also notice they walked everywhere they went? And the message is, don't try and outsmart your dad. Or do what he says. Anyway, obey him. So what did Jesus want the disciples to do in this story? Right at the beginning. Well, you tell me, what did Jesus want the disciples to do? You've just had the story read. If you've got it in front of you, it's Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. What did Jesus want the disciples to do? Trust him. Go ahead in the boat. Go ahead in the boat. What had he told them to do? He told them to get in the boat and go to the other side. Yes? Okay, remember that as we go through this story. That's all they need to know for now. That is his entire will for them at this point. Get in the boat and go over to the other side. He just fed 5,000 people. And then it says immediately, and this word comes up a lot, particularly in Mark's gospel and in Matthew's gospel, it's used quite a bit as well. Immediately, Jesus made them, it says in the NIV. The Greek is a word that means to compel, is the thing. And what I want you to note with this is the authority of Jesus. The authority of Jesus in this bit. He made them, or he compelled them to get in the boat. It's kind of like he told them to do it, so they need to get on and do it. And the obedience of the disciples, because they then went and they got in the boat and did what they'd been told to do. I guess a way you could think about discipled, a disciple, what is the definition of a disciple? It's a disciplined helper. Someone who follows Jesus' instructions, follows Jesus' teaching, they're a disciplined disciple, disciplined helper. They didn't say, okay, Jesus, yeah, we'll do that, but we'll do it a bit later. We'd rather just stay here and celebrate a little bit first because we've just fed 5,000 people. It was pretty cool, so we just like to hang around a bit. They didn't say, well, yeah, we'll do it later. Let's just pick up all the litter first because there's quite a bit of litter around. They got in the boat and did what they'd been told to do. Didn't say, I'll think about it. Didn't they? We'll try. He spoke. They did it immediately. They were acting on what Jesus said straight away. When's the last time that you heard God speak to you authoritatively like that? Told you clearly what you need to do with the authority that Jesus has when he speaks. When's the last time you heard him do that? Well, I'm going to tell you, he speaks to us like that every time we open his word, because this is God's word. This is the authoritative word of God, and he expects us to do it, to obey him. That's right, isn't it? The authority of Jesus. He speaks to us like that. And the question is, do we do it or not? Will we respond immediately, or will we be like the disciples and say, well, I'll think about it? I think actually that's what sometimes we do as Christians. We know what we should do. We know what it's saying. You know, you need to forgive that person. I'll think about it a bit first. We know we should stop doing that thing that we're doing, but I just need a bit more time. I know that maybe I should go and spend more time in prayer because you teach us to pray, but I'll get there. I'm just busy at the moment. But this is the authoritative word of God. It's not an option when God speaks. It's not if we feel like it. It's a command for us to do. So how were they to get to the other side? It wasn't to walk on water. That wasn't the answer. That's not what he told them to do. It wasn't to swim. It was to, what was it? How were they meant to get there? Get in a boat, okay? The Greek word for boat is pluno. It means to plunge or to flow or to plunge through water. And it is used of any vessel that was designed to plunge, flow, or sail through water. That's what it was. And Jesus told them to get in the boat that was designed to get them where they needed to go. That's what it was for. And they would be able to get to the other side. And they'd be able to see the other side from where they were. And how they were going to get there was in this boat. Has anyone ever been to Lake Galilee? Been to Israel and seen Lake Galilee? Okay, so one or two of you have. So, a few. I've had the opportunity to go as well. And one of the things that struck me was, when I saw it, I don't know, I kind of always imagined when I'd read about it that it would be like the sea, and you'd look out and see the horizon. But it isn't like that. You can quite easily see the other side in the lake. So they would have been able to see where they're going. They knew what they had to do, and they knew how they were meant to get there in this boat. Jesus always provides a way for us to get where he wants us to be. And I want to call the boat, I want to give the boat a name now. I want to give the boat the name, the boat of obedience. The boat of obedience. So, Jesus has told them what to do. He's provided a way to do it, to get in the boat of obedience, and he's told them where they end up. Where they've got to end up. They knew what the outcome would be because he told them before they started. He said, you're going to be all right. If you obey me, you'll get to where you want to be. You'll make it to the other side if you get in the boat like I've said. I guess a question again for us, just thinking about what this means for us, is are we in the boat of obedience? Are we right now doing what Jesus has told us to do in our lives? Because that's the place that we should be if we're following God's word. Are we doing that fully? And then we move on in verse 23 and 24. They got into the boat, our boat of obedience, and the wind blew against them, started blowing against them. Now, does anyone sail here? Anyone do any sailing? Again, a few sailors. Okay, I've done a little bit of sailing myself. Not only picos and smaller boats. I'm not a kind of, you know, not the Atlantic or anything like that, just out and about. But those of you who sail, a question for you. Is it unusual to find the wind blowing against you when you're in a boat at sea? No, it's not really, is it? It happens quite often. It's a normal occurrence. And I want to call this, we'll call this wind, we've called it the boat of obedience, we'll call the wind a contrary wind, as in blowing against you, okay? So a contrary wind. And when you're in a boat, the contrary wind will be there. When you're in the boat of obedience, following Jesus, the contrary wind will be there, blowing against you, trying to stop you going to where you're trying to go. But we need to chill out. It's okay. It's normal. It happens. We just need to keep pressing on and learn to sail through it. It can't stop us if we're doing what Jesus says. The wind was blowing against the disciples, but they kept going. And I think we need to expect that contrary wind, expect that people will misunderstand us, expect that people will hurt us at times in life when we're following Jesus, expect that there'll be trouble at work sometimes, expect that the kids will play up sometimes. And we're not to get disillusioned, even when we can't see Jesus. The disciples couldn't see Jesus at that point. We're not to get disillusioned, we're to expect this contrary wind as we're traveling. But don't worry about it. Don't fret. Don't give up or turn back. It's just a contrary wind. Jesus said that we're going to get to the other side if we stay in the boat of obedience. That's what he's told us is going to happen. So, and when you get in the boat of obedience, you will experience different things that you've not seen before. So there's certain spiritual things that we can't really understand until we start obeying God. There's certain experiences with Jesus that you don't have until you start obeying him and following him in that kind of way. You'll see him in new ways. He'll show you things that you didn't imagine possible. And sometimes it's in the middle of these storms when these contrary winds are blowing. Now, Jesus sometimes calms the storm. In chapter 8 of Matthew, there's a passage where Jesus calms the storm. But sometimes he walks with us in the storm. He doesn't calm it, he walks with us in it, which is what he does in this story. He doesn't always rush to the rescue. He was asleep in chapter 8 in the story I just mentioned. And he's walking past in this story. But he's with us. And that's when the disciples see Jesus in a new way in this story, in the middle of that storm, in a new light. He's walking on the water, a bit like a ghost. Again, the word is phantasma. A spiritual appearance is what they see. And the Old Testament uses the term deceptive spirit. So they think it's an evil spirit that's on the water, coming towards them, walking on the water. And that's why they cry out in fear. They think, we're going under, Jesus isn't here. Evil's about to have victory over us. They'd not seen Jesus that way before. It was scary for them. They thought, it can't be Jesus in the midst of this because things are going wrong. But he was there. They just didn't see him. They just didn't see him in the midst of it. And in the storms that we go through, Jesus is there with us because he promised never to leave or forsake us. It's just that we might not see him in the midst of it in the same way, but he will be there and we can look for him in it. And then verse 27, it says immediately again, the words, same word that's been being used. And Jesus said, take courage. It's I, don't be afraid. If we stay in the boat and don't bail out, Jesus will make it clear, make it everything clear, and he'll speak to us. And he'll say, don't worry, I know you're not used to me speaking to you like this, but it's me. It's okay. I know you don't understand what's going on right now, but I'm here. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. The only way that you can get to the other side is through some perhaps unfamiliar circumstances. But when you get in the boat of obedience, you start to see things you've not seen before. I guess, you know, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 reminds me of this. It says, no eye has seen, no ear heard, no mind conceived what God's prepared for us. But God reveals it to us by his Spirit when we're trusting him. The more you obey, the more he'll reveal. The more that we're following him that way and trusting him, the more he'll show us more of himself. So I think we can learn a lot through those hard times. And the other reaction to seeing Jesus like this is to get distracted from what he told us to do. In the midst of all that's going on, we can get distracted and try and do something different. So again, come back to the question I was asking at the beginning. Is the story of Peter stepping out the boat a success story or a story of failure? We're up to that bit where he gets out the boat now. I was just looking at this again this afternoon and reading verse 28. I actually think that the step of faith, the biggest step of faith that Peter took was not when he got out the boat, it was before he got out the boat. It was when he said in verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. I think that's the point when he actually showed the most faith, because what he said was, Jesus, if it's you there, if that really is you, I know that I can get out this boat and walk to you on the water. I know if you say it, I can do that because I believe in who you are. And I think it was that faith that he was speaking at that point that Jesus was responding to and saying, okay, well, it is me, yes, so come. So Peter expressed the faith at that point in what he said, expressed that faith in Jesus. But is the story of Peter stepping out the boat a success story or a story of failure? We often praise him for being willing to get out the boat and take this step of faith, but actually, we can also see it as a story of failure. Because what happened to Peter ultimately when he got out the boat? He sank. He walked for a bit, but then he sank. He started to sink. And what did Jesus do? Did Jesus say to him, "Hey, well done. You did really well"? He didn't do that, did he? He actually rebuked him. He actually kind of said, "Hey, what's this about? You got not got enough faith." What had Jesus told them to do? Back to the beginning of the story. Get in the boat. Go to the other side. That's what he told them to do. Get in the boat and go ahead to the other side. Did he at any point say, "We'll play a little game on the way"? Or, "I'll meet you in the middle"? No. That wasn't what the plan was. That wasn't what he'd been told to do. And verse 22 makes it clear they were to stay in the boat and he'd meet them on the other side. And Jesus was walking across the lake, and in Mark's gospel, we see, as this story is told again, he's walking across the lake, he intends to meet them on the other side, not on the lake. That's what he said at the beginning, "I'll meet you on the other side over there." Mark 6:48, he was about to pass by them. He was about to pass by them. He wasn't going to get in the boat with them. He was walking past the other side. He was going to meet them on the other side. He only got in the boat there because they freaked out. John 6, verse 21, he got in the boat and immediately, the word again, it reached the shore where he said he'd meet them. Now, some people have looked at that and said this was another miracle. The boat at this point, it says in John's gospel, was, I think it's John, it said it was about 3 or 3.5 miles. The fact that it actually says, this is word for word I'm quoting, it was 3 or 3.5 miles, means that there's a kind of significance there. He hasn't got it exact, but there's a point to the fact it's 3 or 3.5 miles. What that actually meant was, because they knew the width of Lake Galilee, they had about 2.5 miles to go to get to the other side. So they were just more than halfway across at that point. But then it says immediately they got to the other side when Jesus got in the boat. Some people have interpreted that and said, what's happening there is another miracle. Somehow, as Jesus gets in the boat, and it probably in the storm, there might have been mist and all that kind of thing, who knows, in the storm of everything going on, and suddenly they realize, "Hey, we're here. We're at the other side." And Jesus has met them at the other side, like he said he would. Some people believe that that's the case, and this was another miracle. Other people look at it and say, no, what happened was, because all the contrary winds were blowing before, and because it was really hard to push through these winds, and they weren't making good progress because of it, when Jesus got in the boat, all the winds stopped, everything calmed down, which is what it says, and they were able to immediately get to the other side straight away. There was no problem then. They got straight through to the other side quite quickly after that. So other people have looked at it like that. We don't know, because it doesn't explain that fully. It just uses that word, immediately they reached the other side. But whichever way, he has said that he'd meet them there, and he did, even though they got distracted on the way. They were going to get there because he told them that. Would Jesus know if they were going to die on the way across? Do you think he would? But he told them he was going to meet them on the other side. So they didn't need to freak out on the way. It was going to be okay. When Jesus says he'll meet you on the other side, do you know what that means? He'll meet you on the other side. If you stay in the boat of obedience. So The challenge, I think, from this passage, we can look at it and take a very valuable lesson in terms of taking a step of faith and getting out the boat, like was talked about from this story. And I've preached this story that way as well, numerous times. And it's an important message for us to take steps of faith, to get out the boat, so to speak, and come in faith, walk in faith. But also, next time you're thinking about this story, perhaps think about it in another way as well, that perhaps don't freak out and try to do something different. If Jesus has told you what to do, stay in the boat of obedience, you might not sink. And you'll still get to the other side. Because Jesus has told you, as long as you're following and trusting in him and being obedient, you'll get there. It'll be okay. Get in the boat of obedience. Stay in the boat of obedience. Arrive in the boat of obedience. Don't let the contrary wind scare you on the way. It'll run out of energy long before Jesus ever does. And along the way, get ready for some great spiritual experiences, for some encounters with Jesus, perhaps in different ways you haven't experienced before, because sometimes in those difficult times, we learn more about Jesus and how he works with us through those times in ways that maybe he hasn't done before, but don't be afraid of that. And I want to give an example of, finally, just in concluding, of how Jesus himself did this. In verse 33, they all kind of, in the boat, worshipped him as they realized he was Lord and so on. But in John 13, and in the first, well, I'll read John 13 in conclusion, the first four verses there. John 13, these are the first four verses. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. But Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. What's happening in that verse? Jesus knew he came from the Father, and he knew he was going to the Father. He knew he came from the Father, one side of the lake, and he knew he was going to the Father, the other side of the lake. So he's confident that if he stays in the boat of obedience, he'll get there. If he's obedient to his Father, which Jesus always said he wanted to be, he would get there, even through servanthood, even through the abuse that he took, even through the cross. Jesus could go through it all because he knew as he walked with and in obedience to the Father, he would get to where he was meant to be and accomplish what he was meant to accomplish. And Jesus asks us to be his disciplined helpers, his disciples, and follow him that way too. Let's pray and ask for his help in doing that, shall we? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word. It is challenging. It is. It stretches us at times. But it is your word, and we need to live our lives according to it, because we know that that is best for us and that is honouring to you. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be obedient to you, obedient to your word and what we read in Scripture, obedient to your leading, Holy Spirit, in our lives, obedient to you in every way. Lord, if there's people here that you have told to do things for you, I pray that you will help them to stick with it and stay close to you in that. And Lord, take them to the other side. And Lord, just in our lives generally, help us to live lives that are honouring and pleasing and obedient to you in every way. Thank you, Jesus, that you led before us, lived as you did, died as you died, rose as you rose, so that we can be here today and have the hope that we have as your family, that one day we'll also reach the other side, the ultimate other side of being with you. Amen. Amen. Thank you.